You're probably wondering why I called you here.
Had some curiosity.
Here's the situation. I need you to personally deliver a six-pack of Schlitz to the President of the United States.
Here we go again.
And we're off!
In 1977, a new hero hit the silver screen.
I'm a fixer. A deep-fried fixer. Don't ask no questions.
And his name?
This here be the stinker, your number one beaver cleaver. Come back.
Now, on the 40th anniversary of his legendary exploits, Stinker Lets Loose.
Stinker Lets Loose. Stinker Lets Loose.
Starring John Hamm as Stinker.
I may be a backwoods Billy Bobbledobble, but I ain't stupid.
Ray Seahorn as Gwyneth.
Never fell in love with a raccoon before.
Andy Daly as Boner.
Time to get this wiggle wagon a wangin'.
John DiMaggio as Jumbo.
Ooh, worms in a peach basket.
Paul F. Tompkins as Mr. Walsh.
A roller skating rink. Can you believe that? With disco music.
With James Urbaniak as President Jimmy Carter.
Did this ever happen to Lincoln?
Guest starring Andy Richter as Orville Max.
Bang, bang, prepare to die.
And Philip Baker Hall as the big man.
That's why I'm paying you the big bucks.
Discovered by best-selling author Mike Sachs and directed for audio by Eric Martin, they now invite you to strap yourself into this fully amped, revved-up mean machine.
$60,000? That's a tremendous allot.
If you lose, you lose Rascal. Rascal never find mate for loving.
When Stinker lets loose, Stinker lets loose.
Will big government and the Smokies bring him down?
My name is John Ara Sledge. That is Sheriff John Ara Sledge.
You got that right, Daddy.
Donut Patrol always repossessing my dreams.
Or will Stinker let loose?
Looks like we're about to play ball.
We are going to die!
Story Harry Hole.
Just another day at the office.
What's so funny, son?
For years, I had images of, like, a chimp hang gliding and someone pulling the gun on it, but I don't remember if I had seen that in a movie theater, on TV, or in real life.
Oh, I certainly remember the trucker craze. If you didn't have a handle, a CB handle, you hardly deserved to be on the road. I never had one.
In the late 1970s, CB radios and trucker movies were a bona fide craze. The number one movie in 1977 was Star Wars, but did you know that number two was Smokey and the Bandit? And down a few dozen spots from that lofty perch was another all-American cinematic treat. This one called Stinker Lets Loose. Author Mike Sachs.
I saw the movie in Virginia Beach. I was 5 years old. I was living down there then. And for reasons that still remain a mystery, my parents took me to the theater. This is my first movie that I ever saw in the theater. You know, most kids see Bambi or Cinderella. I saw Stinker Lets Loose. And obviously it was a movie that I've never forgotten. But it was also a movie that just remained in the back of my mind. It was one of those dream landscapes. Did I dream this? Did I imagine this? Did I hallucinate this? Was this just a febrile dream from a flu-ridden kid?
Jessica McKenna didn't see it until years later on late-night television, and she also thought it was a dream.
It was on in the middle of the night when I had mono in high school, so I did watch it, I guess at like 2 a.m., but I always assumed, well, that certainly wasn't a real movie. That was like my fever. That was the mono talking, but happy to see it come full circle. And, you know, guys, stay safe out there. Don't share drinks.
John Hamm saw it as a child growing up in St. Louis, Missouri.
It's funny, the first time I saw it was in a drive-in down by the Lake of the Ozarks. You know, it was one of those on a double bill. I forget what the other one was. It might have been Jaws 2 or something like that, but it was, hot night, and everyone, I was a kid, but everyone, all the adults in there were drunk and laughing and having a good time. So I knew it was something special back then.
Andy Daly was especially struck by one particular element of the movie.
You know, it was just one of those movies. I think absolutely everybody that saw it wanted a chimp. I remember asking my parents to get a chimp. Talked about it a lot. It was the only thing that was on my Christmas list for like 3 years after I saw this movie, so it had a big impression on me. I know I never did get a chimp, which is probably for the best. You know, they eat people's faces. That's just a fact.
That wasn't the only Andy to be affected by Rascal the Chimp. Andy Richter.
Seeing Rascal really awoke something in me that I didn't know was there, and to this day, I am very attracted to hirsute women.
By the way, hirsute means hairy. I had to go look that up. Someone else who remembers the movie very well is Ray Seahorn.
Yeah, there was a late night broadcast showing. Yeah, and we stayed up late. I had, I think I was having a pajama party or something for my birthday, and we were totally not allowed to see it. It was this taboo thing, but everyone knew. And, you know, and we're saying all of Gwyneth's lines over top of Gwyneth saying them, and then I actually was doing Stinker because, I mean, that would be fun too. But that was one of my best memories growing up.
But not everybody recalls this drive-in classic from a bygone era. John DiMaggio.
Who was in it? Because I don't really remember. I just, when I think about something like this, I imagine a lot of accidental pubic hair showing. You know, like one of those, you know, when you just, when you, like, if you go back and you're like, hey, wow, there's a lot of unnecessary nudity on men, too. Like men wearing shorts that are too short, you know, like you maybe see a ball come out. Doesn't ring a bell.
In fact, Stinker would have been lost forever had it not been for a chance encounter Mike Sachs had with a very unique piece of literature.
It came one night. I was drinking on the Ocean City Boardwalk in Maryland. I had just eaten some Thrasher fries, which are some crab-flavored Old Bay-style fries. And I was wandering the boardwalk like I do at 1 a.m. typically, and I came across this guy who was selling old books. I was riffling through those books, and I came across one copy of the novelization to Stinker Let's Loose in terrible shape. It was taped. It was in a plastic coating. I was sort of shocked by how poorly it was written. There was a lot of mistakes. And I was also shocked by how non-PC it was. There was a lot in there that a lot of people would find offensive.
The novelization was written by the prolific yet reclusive James Taylor Johnston.
Well, there's not much known about this guy. I mean, what is known is that he wrote a few novelizations. He made his living writing novelizations and also dirty fortune cookie sayings. He died in 1987. I tried to reach out to his family. His family wanted nothing to do with me. They weren't proud of his accomplishments. But I did dig deep, and I found that he was the author of numerous novelizations that came out in the 70s and early to mid-80s. Some of these include Return to Crumb Mountain, Roller Skating Rabbi, Satin Shenanigans, The Smelly Mist of Glover, Stinker Goes All In, which I think was a prequel to Stinker Let's Loose, Chucky Esposito on Mars, Giants of Professional Tickling, and Ain't No Dung Heap High Enough. Now, I don't know anything about these movies. I just know that he wrote these novelizations.
Now, the legend of Stinker comes full circle with this all-new cinematic audiobook adaptation of the recently discovered novelization of the mostly forgotten bicentennial-era motion picture event. We asked the cast of this very special audio movie what message they had for the new generation of Stinker fans today. Philip Baker Hall.
Well, I'd say that anybody that expecting to get an uplifting spiritual message from this movie, you're going to have to look pretty deep.
Paul F. Tompkins and Kimmy Gatewood.
Oh, I think you definitely have to remember the context of the time in which it was written. You know, it was a different time, and, you know, everybody was just drunk all the time, and they were having, it was near constant sex, you know, it was like, probably because everybody was drunk all the time, you know?
I guess my message is that, you know, the references are just really old, you know?
Yeah.
Just old references, yeah. And you gotta remember that times were different, and boobs, I mean, everybody had big naturals, mm-hmm. So.
Everybody.
Like, everybody. From
everybody.
The gaffers, to the grips, to the best boys, to the director,
that's right.
To the stars.
To the audience.
to the audience. And so you have to picture that in your mind.
You should.
Andy Richter.
I think that for the new fans of the movie, I think they should really reflect on just the easy availability of cold beer and what a different world it is that we live in, and how there's so many things that we just shouldn't take for granted. This movie, it ends up being a comedy, but it could very well have been a tragedy.
Mark Gagliardi.
I'd say to anyone who doesn't know the story of Stinker, first of all, I am jealous because you are in for a treat. But also I would say you've got this character that can just wash over you like drizzled cheese on a hot dog or gravy on a biscuit. Just let that happen. Get warm, get cozy, get gooey with Stinker, and let him get all over you.
Now, for the first time since 1977, it's time to forget to fasten your seatbelts and enjoy the wild, deep-fried ride that is Stinker Let's Loose.
Introduction. Have you ever thought back on a movie, a specific scene, or even the entire damn film, and wondered, did I dream that? This happens to me often. For years, I vaguely remembered watching a movie scene about a chimp in estrus and a dim-witted, cussing mountain boy who joined forces with an out-of-shape Georgia road adventurer named Stinker so that they can fun-truck their way up to Washington, D.C. Dear Lord, could this possibly have existed? Actually, yes, this film very much did exist. It was released in 1977 and played for a few weeks in theaters, mostly in the South, and in a few drive-ins, also mostly in the South. The movie is called Stinker Let's Loose. The movie is very bad. It will certainly never enter the lofty canon of the Criterion Collection, and yet I loved it then and I love it still. It's very hard to find a copy of this film beyond bootleg versions that were duped off VHS tapes that were recorded off cable long after midnight in the mid-80s to early 90s. This book that you hold in your hands, this novelization to Stinker Let's Loose, is the first in a series. In the upcoming years, I will be republishing novelizations, or movie tie-ins, to forgotten films from the 1970s through the 2000s. Some of these will be about aliens. Some will be about virgins popping their cherries during spring break in that most exotic of party locales, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But a warning. I'm publishing this book, as well as all the others, as is. That means that I haven't fixed so much as one word that was originally written by the authors that might possibly offend a reader on either moral or grammatical grounds. For the audiobook release, we have made a few small adjustments to some of the rougher edges. But make no mistake, some of this is still challenging and difficult material. The character of Stinker is described within these pages as just the man this country needs in these difficult times. I tend to doubt that this was a case in 1977, and I most definitely doubt that this is a case now. And yet, there is something sort of refreshing about Stinker and his ragtag group of deep-fried Dixies. And if you don't like Stinker or his story, well, what can I say? There are a lot of other great books out there, even a few great novelizations. Have you ever read the novelization to the 1979 comedy, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh? It's terrific. So, we'll talk soon. Until the next re-release, let me just say the following. 10-4, good buddy. Keep the bugs off your glass and the trouble off your ass. Keep your lips a-smirkin' and the girls a-jerkin'. For sure, catch you at the next surf and turf. Mike Sachs.
Chapter 1. Wakey Wakey. Stinker opened his dazzling blue eyes, slowly and with great effort. He could barely see. Was it the middle of the night? No, it felt like daytime. Maybe late morning at the earliest. His eyes squinted from what little light invaded through the dirty, drawn shades. A languid country song warbled from a radio alarm clock. Not surprisingly, it was about Stinker.
Bad man, he liked to ride. Straight to his beer. That Stinker, he don't like to never ever hide. That Stinker, he don't got it all, nothing to fear.
It wasn't a good song, nor did it make much sense, but until the day Stinker died, probably right here in his trailer, crushed under the weight of his vintage erotica collection, he'd be more than okay with it. Stinker reached across his messy, stained, well-used mattress, over the box of wombat scat and around the jug of doe urine, for the radio's off button, hit it, and then accidentally knocked over an empty bottle of cinnamon whiskey. The sound of glass hitting and then bouncing along the linoleum floor rang in his ears and made him wince. The label couldn't be seen, but it was the brand of cheap Coos booze to be found at any illegal backwoods juke joint owned by a former career Navy cook named Gravy Boat. 'Twas the only style of booze Stinker ever drunk. The great man now took stock of himself. He reached betwixt his thighs, making sure his ample package was still there.
There'd be a lot of upset ladies if it wasn't.
It was.
Whew. Good.
Rutting season would continue. Stinker was well favored by nature. The big trucker above it made sure of that. Stinker giggled. The giggle was high-pitched, much like a jungle creature's, and extremely distinctive. Anyone who lived within the great state of Georgia knew this giggle, especially in the southeastern part of Georgia, where Stinker resided and thrived.
Moly holy, where in the hell was I last night?
Ejaculated Stinker, more to himself than to anyone else, as no one else was in the bedroom.
Where now?
It started to slowly come back.
Ah, yes, with Lizzie, that spicy, slinky firecracker of an overnight waitress at Hank's Saloon. That dirty little thing with the tight knockoff designer jeans, all moist around the edges. Teacup long since gone a cracked, slick in the sluice and dry in the goose. And what did we do all night? Got drunk and then...
That last part was best left to his own fading memory.
Where was Liz now?
Not in this dump, that was for sure. She was a cat. Clean, sleek, stylish, loved to lick. He was more like a dog. Smelly. Sometimes his penis was visible in public. Sometimes even his anus. He didn't care. Hairy. Liz's old man was a biker, which could spell danger.
Don't touch the snatch when Daddy's got the patch.
Not that Stinker was overly frightened, 'cause Stinker had the flesh, lived the standard. The day was early yet, but there was already a string of bubblegum lodged securely within Stinker's thick and lustrous stash. He'd have to attend to that later. Might even have to buy himself a monogrammed mustache wide comb. Would go well with his monogrammed lice comb. Stinker slowly made his way to a standing position. He was wearing nothing but his boxers festooned with the Confederate flag and his authentic felt Stetson cowboy hat. Always with the cowboy hat.
I'll be a dirty word,
said Stinker.
It's you.
Sitting in a broken rocking chair, just next to the broken television, was Stinker's best friend and all-around loyal adventure comrade, Boner. Unlike Stinker, Boner was clean-shaven and already duded up in his tough-nut tux. Crisp Levi jeans, mahogany red supple genuine leather python cowboy boots with raised top stitching, an antique pewter belt buckle in the shape of an agave leaf, and a dark chocolate brown Biltmore Western cowboy hat raked handsomely to the side. Southern exquisite, a denim dandy. A hoity-toity, honky-tonky, cracker-backer, slacker-whacker.
Well, ain't you look like 110 bucks,
Boner declared, smiling. It was an impish grin, one the ladies could never, ever resist. Even the guys had a difficult time ignoring it.
Perhaps that had more to do with the discoloration of Boner's teeth and gums, but Boner wasn't complaining.
Smoke! Need a smoke, pal,
declared Stinker in a husky voice. Stinker tried to assume a frontiersman pose, but nearly toppled over. He gave up and sat back down.
Slow it down, jitterbug,
jibed Boner, laughing. He tossed over a pack of fresh Salems. Stinker coolly caught the pack with one hand and then tapped out a loose goose. He flipped it into his sensuous mouth. Boner blazed Stinker's cig and handed his best friend a pair of torn jeans and a denim shirt, the only style the great man wore. The shirt had a rhinestone peacock on the front, giving the middle finger. No one knew why. Regardless, it was glorious.
Come on, friend,
said Boner, pushing Stinker into the bathroom. Boner had known this chaotic cracker for years and felt more than comfortable pushing Stinker into a trailer's tiny bathroom.
Your buddy is brewing up some strong joe, as well as a piping hot plate of hash.
He was talking about himself.
Harumph,
said Stinker, and then burped noisily. Boner made a face.
You smell like the devil.
The devil I know, or the devil I don't?
Both,
said Boner, even though he wasn't quite sure what Stinker meant. He often wasn't, but it didn't matter. They were best pals.
Follow me, sir,
said Boner, pretending he was a maitre d' at a fancy upscale French restaurant in the snootiest of academic northeast cities. He led Stinker out of the bathroom and over to the trailer's kitchenette area.
We saved your table, monsieur.
Stinker rolled his eyes. This was a game. Boner was forever playing the role of attendant, while Stinker was forever acting the role of rich, fancy gentleman. It was fun, but Stinker sometimes wished Boner could save it for another time. His entire body hurt. Make no mistake, Stinker was in shape, but more like beer shape. He had some muscles, but they were nothing to write home about. Meanwhile, what exactly did Liz and him get up to last night? Whatever it was, he was now paying the full price. Stinker hated paying the full price. Boner presented Stinker with a steaming plate of delicious fried taters. He plunked down a huge cup of black coffee in a shit-kicking mug, just the way Stinker liked it.
Can't.
Will! Don't let your alligator mouth overload your hummingbird ass!
Stinker took a deep gulp of the strong brew and immediately began to feel better.
Where's Rascal?
Consumed by a croc?
Asked Boner, handing Stinker a fake cloth napkin.
Ain't my chimp.
That there's one animal who ain't gonna travel far, not with that big, fat, lazy ass.
Well, she reached estrus last week, going all types of crazy. Chimp lost her mind. Why wouldn't she run?
If she has run, I'm desiring she run off to find herself a male. And best of luck to him.
Boner chuckled deeply and then sat down next to Stinker. All of a sudden, his expression showed one of deep concern. He remembered what he had to tell Stinker, and it wasn't good.
Hey, buddy, I hate to be the bearer of bad news and all.
Don't tell me,
said Stinker.
Here it comes, a big roller rink pickle.
I'm telling you, the big man wants to see you. Says it's of mucho importance. Has another job for you. Says it might be the most significant adventure of your already spectacular life.
Of all days, Lord, on a buttery shit biscuit, why today?
Stinker's stomach grumbled, and he floated out a lively one. A most dishonorable discharge. It smelled of government-issued hot dogs that had turned at a particularly depressing July 4th celebration.
Helicopter is waiting,
said Boner, holding his nose in a funny way and pointing outside to a large grassy area.
Been here for hours.
Not going without Rascal. No way, no how. That's a big negatory.
I wouldn't push buttons. Big man sounded like
he made...
There was a loud crash. Both Stinker and Boner jumped. Glass flew and the table was upended. Before he knew it, Stinker was on the ground. Boner was still standing. Barely.
Speak of the devil I know,
said Stinker, shaking his head.
There's my chimp now.
Rascal the chimp roared with displeasure. Ever since she had reached sexual maturity the previous week, the great beast was capable of significant, ungodly violence. Grabbing the coffee pot, she hurled it against the refrigerator. She bared her big yellow fangs and then grabbed at her flapjack breasts and her freakishly inverted teats. She chewed at the air. She stomped and BM'd on the cheap vinyl flooring. Yes, this chimp was off her rocker. There was no doubt about that. But there was also something about the old girl that was endearing. Maybe it was her loyalty, or that she was always up for an adventure, or good in a fight, or free. Stinker had stolen Rascal from an illegitimate traveling engine circus in Alabama the previous month, and they were already fast friends. Stinker wondered how this old chimp was going to do on a helicopter flight. She was scared to death of enclosed spaces.
Well, we'll soon find out,
he thought. He closed his eyes and listened to the damage being wrought.
This should be fun.
Chapter 2. Receiving the Marching Orders. The big man stood before a seated Stinker. He didn't look happy, which was nothing new.
That's one hell of a monkey you got there, son. He really is something.
Ain't a monkey,
said Stinker. He quickly added,
sir.
Big man couldn't tell if Stinker meant it or if he was just being country smart. Didn't matter either way.
Either way, he creates havoc wherever he goes.
Here we go again,
thought Stinker, looking out the window, bored. This was a very powerful man who stood before Stinker, a powerful and dangerous man who had long ago become very rich by distributing convenience store barely carbonated corn-sweetened American-produced junk brew throughout the entire South. He had also somehow lost an arm. See, Stinker jumps the Grand Canyon with a rented jet ski, 1976. So Big Man wasn't capable of adventures like he was back in his prime. But he was still exceedingly dangerous, and he hated animals, and the crippled, and the Democrats, anything remotely vulnerable.
Life's a bitch,
thought Stinker, and snickered. The big man pulled an expensive cigar out of an exotic cherry wood cigar box with his good hand.
Care for one?
Why not? Won't stunt my growth any.
Stinker gently took hold of the cigar and allowed Big Man to light him up. Cuban, Stinker thought. Stinker hated communists, but oh boy did he ever love that pinko baccy.
You're probably wondering why I called you here,
said the big man.
That's some curiosity,
replied Stinker, tapping an ash out on his right leg, burning a hole right through the skin-tight distressed denim. He didn't care. Plenty of holes for everyone. Stinker could see Rascal outside, chasing the helicopter pilot round and round the chopper.
Don't get caught, Mr. Pilot. Don't you dare get caught.
I bet you're wondering, all right. You and I have been through a lot together, haven't we, Stink?
I only allow my friends to call me Stink,
Stinker thought, and then aloud.
Sure.
I ask and you do. I wanted a ton of beer delivered overnight to the Dallas Cowboys, and you did that.
Yep,
nodded Stinker.
I needed a hijacked shipment of fresh stool samples delivered to NASA, and you did that.
Stinker didn't remember this one.
I wanted you to alleviate a situation down at the new Disney complex, and you did that.
Still got the scars to prove it,
said Stinker, smiling, pointing to his groin.
That's what I do, right? I'm a fixer. A deep-fried fixer who don't ask no questions.
And that's why you're the best. No one better. Here's the situation. I need you to personally deliver a six-pack of Schlitz to the President of the United States.
The President?
The one, the only.
Why Schlitz and not Coors?
You might not need to know that.
But how? You know damn well that with my particular past, I'm not exactly a welcome guest at the White House.
That would be your problem,
said the big man, now seated, genuine baby elephant leather boots up on his fancy chestnut veneer work desk.
That's why I'm paying you the big bucks.
He emphasized big bucks with his one good forefinger.
Speaking of which...
How's $10,000?
Might do. Might not.
Yeah, thinking might,
replied the big man, handing over a huge wad of cash.
Count it now. Go ahead. It's all there.
I didn't say I'd do it.
Oh, you didn't have to. I could read those big blue orbs of yours. All the evidence I need.
Outside, Stinker could see that Rascal had just ripped off the helicopter pilot's face and was now gorging on it as nourishment.
There goes my ride home,
thought Stinker and giggled.
What's so funny, son?
Not much,
Stinker replied, pointing out the window.
At least with that guy.
The big man didn't bother to look.
So, I suppose I could use the $10,000. Yeah.
I thought you could. Still paying off that convertible Trans Am loan?
Stinker stood.
By when?
Wednesday night. Or the deal is off.
Wednesday?
Screamed Stinker, who usually didn't scream.
That's impossible! Even for the Stinker!
You pluck me a sad song,
declared the big man, mimicking the world's smallest banjo.
Get! You owe me one helicopter pilot. See yourself home, please.
How in the hell did he know that his helicopter pilot was just eaten by a chimp without looking out the window? Expensive video feed.
Oh, Stinker?
Yes.
Godspeed, son.
A scream could be heard from outside. Stinker nodded.
Impossible to find good help when you need it,
mumbled the big man. But he was only talking to himself. Stinker was already long past gone. Chapter 3, Hitting the Road.
He said what?
Asked Boner, incredulous.
Impossible, Chief. Impossible, I say.
Ain't nothing impossible, except maybe for Buck, speaking anything but a curse.
Stinker looked down at Buck, the wild-haired, whey-faced, small-eyed 12-year-old he had illegally taken under his fry-battered wing the previous year whilst on a beer run in the mountains of Tennessee.
Titties.
Here we go.
Stanky story, hairy hole.
We don't use words like that,
said Stinker patiently.
It ain't appropriate, kid.
Fuck. Fuck shit, bitch, puss puss.
Don't he say nothing but bad words?
Asked Boner in genuine wonder.
Why he do that, son?
Been through it. His first family was no good. Taught him everything that was bad. Our job is to teach him everything that's good. And I plan on it.
He grabbed a beer from the fridge and tossed it to Buck.
Consume it, kid. We'll slow down those extra quick thoughts in that extra slow little mind.
The kid did as he was told. He adored Stinker.
Getting back to the mission. Let's map out a plan here.
Stinker don't map. The plan is simple. I jump into Miss Becky and get her all worked up. She scream with pleasure. She go vroom, vroom. You follow in that old stinking rig of yours. We reach the D of C in 10 hours.
Don't sound like a plan to me.
Pussy,
said Buck between sips.
Puss cop piss shit.
It's the only plan we got. You got something better?
I'm afraid me thinks me doth not,
said Boner, now acting all highfalutin, as if he were some sort of 19th-century wench at a Renaissance festival. Stinker rolled his eyes, but understood.
I tell you what, old pal, you go grab Jumbo. Tell him it's on. I and Buck will dig you by the Southside 95 ramp in T-minus 60.
Stinker had gold fever, and it felt mighty good. Grip it and rip it. Holy hornies, this was happening.
Time to go looking for trouble, 'cause we got ourselves engraved invitations.
Yes, sir, Commander,
said Boner. He pretended to gaily salute like a homosexual soldier, but instead stabbed himself in his right eye. It was funny, and Stinker couldn't help but laugh.
See.
said Buck, taking a huge gulp of beer.
Come on, son,
said Stinker slowly to the moronic mountain child.
Go get yourself dressed. Time for fun trucking.
Chapter 4. A rack of ribbon with all the sides. 1 hour later, Stinker sat idling in his beloved Miss Becky, the convertible trans he was still paying off in convenient monthly installments. Like the women he slept with, Miss Becky purred contentedly whenever Stinker stink-fingered her ignition. Also, the car had a particular smell to her. Cigarettes, plus possibility, plus hot cooter, minus that new factory smell. Sitting next to Stinker was the boy Buck, wearing a coonskin cap and old-fashioned motoring goggles. In the rear view, Stinker noticed that Boner's truck was slowly approaching. He could just make out the Big Mama, Boner's 9-foot whip antenna, rapidly flapping in the wind. After what seemed like eternity, Stinker could see the rest of the truck emerging from over the horizon. In a short, it arrived. In the truck's passenger seat was none other than the fat man everyone called Jumbo. He was large, had no job, and liked to go on exciting escapades. Truth be told, most of his brains was tightly packed into his jelly-stained Fruit of the Looms. He was sporting a stretched nylon knick-knick shirt with a beach sunset theme. He smelled terribly of midnight masturbation. He was a quivering heap of mother love, a simpering Phoebe. Stinker had known this fat slob ever since rescuing him from a dreary life cleaning the water flume at a South Carolina water park. Poor bastard was sleeping on a fetid cot beneath Splish Splash Magic Velocity Mountain. He'd forever be in Stinker's debt.
What's the news, Jumbo?
Jumbo laughed. He was forever laughing.
I see you haven't lost any weight,
Stinker declared, popping a huge pink bubble. Jumbo was not at all sensitive that he was a fatso, or a glutton, or a fool. He just wanted to have fun. All of the time. Jumbo would wink in an impish manner after telling a joke, as if to accentuate the mirth. He would laugh heartily whenever passing gas, which was often. Life was not a complicated spice ball of nuance for Jumbo. He provided comic relief, and Boner and Stinker found it all quite charming.
I live to eat, and I eat to live,
responded Jumbo in a jolly way.
Got any sweets?
This was Jumbo's favorite line, and he used it often.
Well, you know where you can find them sweets,
replied Stinker. This was his favorite line.
Behind this big old mustache. Start biggin'.
Jumbo burst out laughing. To Stinker, the laugh sounded just as loud and drunk as a donkey's. You might be asking, how did Stinker know what a loud and drunk donkey sounded like? As with everything, he just knew. Also, he had recently forced at gunpoint a dwarf donkey named Gulliver to guzzle hard apple cider at an unsanctioned New Orleans Halloween field party to the amusement of a large group of bikers and cancer-stricken children. Gulliver died, as had most of the children. See Stinker and Gulliver Go a Mardi Gras in 1974.
And we're off!
Screamed Jumbo, raising an imaginary racing flag and waving it high and proud. He was like a killer clown, but without the makeup or wig or personality. He was balding, and his left eye was sleepy-winky-roomy. He had dropsy and severe balance problems. Boner popped the truck's clutch, and the old heavy heap pushed slowly forward. He called his lovable rig the Poongoon on account of a custom-built orgiastic sleeper cab with quadraphonic sound, orange rabbit fur side paneling, a small waterbed that had long since run out of water, and a mirror on the ceiling in the shape of a victory sign. women of a certain type found it groovy. Stinker and Buck, meanwhile, were already halfway down the road. Miss Becky was a mean, lean machine.
Wait up, guys!
Screamed Jumbo from the truck, watching Miss Becky zoom off into the distance. He was pretending he was a giant newborn.
Ooh, I want my sticker!
Next to Jumbo, Boner slapped in his favorite country track, and the boot-scootin' swampy sounds blew forth nice and tangy. This was Boner's theme.
Some people say that I'm just a deadbeat dad. But the truth of the matter is I've only got the life they wish they always had.
Suddenly, and with no warning, a wild, high-pitched scream could be heard. And then another. The screams seemed to be coming from the truck's trailer, where Rascal was tied down with circus chains. To Boner, these screams resembled screams of happiness. But you never knew.
You just never knew with that stolen bitch champ in heat.
Chapter 5. Call in the Troops. Somewhere between Georgia and Washington, D.C., Clarence McLeod sat alone on his leather throne within his office on the top floor of the tallest building south of the Mason-Dixon. There was something off about Clarence. His mama used to call him mean, but that was the least of it. His enemies liked to call him evil, but even that didn't quite cut it. Wicked was the word Clarence preferred, and he supposed it was this word that was the most accurate. Rich would be another word that could be used. The richest man in the entire South, if you must know. Except for the big man, who he hated. Stubborn might be another description. Jealous, even another. Maybe even funny. Perhaps odd. Clarence wouldn't argue with any of these descriptions, but he did hate the big man. They had known each other for years and years. Grew up in the same small town of Greenwood, Mississippi. Clarence on one side of the great raging river, the big man on the other. Despised each other then, despised each other now. Also tenacious.
Let him have their fancy words,
he often thought.
Just let me have my money.
Clarence pressed the large red button in the middle of his desk. A dial tone could be heard. And then a young woman picked up.
Yes?
Honey, it's Clarence. Get in here, please.
Yes, Mr. Clarence.
Said the youthful, sexy voice.
Right away, sir.
In walked Betty.
New assignment?
Asked Betty, taking a seat.
Take this down.
Said Clarence.
Stinker is out and about. He's on the loose and he needs to be stopped.
Stinker?
She had once slept with Stinker. She smiled. Strong memories were now forming about Stinker's pungent womb broom tickling her lady parts. That was nice. Smelled a bit like freshly mowed grass with just a touch of unearthed manure.
Springtime.
Come back, honey,
said Clarence, annoyed.
Stinker has been hired to hand the President of the United States a six-pack of Schlitz. We don't own Schlitz. We own Revive beer.
Revive, right.
And I hate Schlitz, and I hate the big man. Now, what would happen to our sales if Stinker ever does happen to reach the President?
Down?
Asked Betty.
Go down?
Clarence thought for a minute.
Sweetheart, do you know what we have to do?
It was more a proclamation than a question.
No.
Orville Max. Orville Max must stop Stinker. Make it happen.
Orville?
She had once slept with Orville Max. She smiled at the memory. Tubs of melted margarine and homemade BBQ tongs.
Summer.
Find Orville. Have him stop Stinker.
Clarence made a flick of his wrist to signify that the conversation was over. Chapter 6, A Buzz of the Fuzz.
10-4, good buddy.
Stinker barked into his custom gold-plated CB handset. In fancy cursive across the side, it read, Lay Stinker.
This here be the Stinker, your number one beaver cleaver. Come back.
Stinker fiddled with the channels and waited for a response. His channel was 69, and every gear jammer worth his salt lick knew it.
Breaker for the Stinker,
said a voice.
This here be the Plastic Duck.
Go ahead, Plastic Ducky,
said Stinker, smiling. This should be good.
We got a Smokey on the move with the hammer down and the candles lit.
Stinker stopped smiling. The last thing he needed now was to be slowed down on his mission to deliver Schlitz to the President of the United States by a Johnny Law with a junk buzzard mentality.
Read that loud and clear.
Hold on to your mud flaps. I ain't done,
said Plastic Ducky with laughter in his voice.
You have a sweet-looking beaver just about to pass. She got a short skirt and tasty seat covers. Driving a solid black nipper-ripper. 10-bye-bye.
10-4, Duck. Keep the bugs off your glass and the trouble off your glass.
Keep your lips a-smirking and the girls a-jerking.
We be topping the hills and popping the pills. Skin it back and squeeze it down.
The duck was already long past bye-bye. Oh, well. Stinker placed the gold-plated handset back into the cradle of the Courier Conqueror 40D, the newest and most complicated of all CB transmitters. It had a digital alarm clock and an AM-SSB transreceiver. Its slogan was, Tomorrow CB, Today. Stinker couldn't imagine communicating ever getting better than this.
Bitch,
said Buck, in the bucket seat next to Stinker.
Bitch, 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 bitch.
Let's just see about that,
answered Stinker, looking in his side rear view.
Patience, son. Here she comes now, blowing past like a 10-11 in the wind. I got me some beaver fever and a hot crotch with very little conscience. It's time to go spelunking for Patty Pelt.
Stinker and Buck watched the Jap-produced Toyota Celica speed past. Stinker estimated that the nipper-clipper had to be zooming into the low 100s. Easily.
Lord now! Just saw her! What a browbuster!
Stinker picked up the custom gold CB handset again.
Breaker, breaker, come on in, Boner, got us a rear...
But before he could finish his transmit to Boner, the sound of a police siren could be heard.
Flies on a ribeye!
Screamed Stinker, who didn't often scream. He pulled Miss Becky over to the side of the road, handling her better than any other man alive. He kept the engine on. You never knew.
Don't say nothing,
said Stinker, looking over to Buck.
I still don't got the proper papers for you. That's all I damn God need.
Screw.
Screw is right. Donut Patrol always repossessing my dreams.
He waited for the inevitable window knock. Within seconds, it came.
Anyone home?
Asked the Smokey, finger tapping on Stinker's window with its huge brass ring. Stinker rolled the window down, real slow-like.
Stinker's home, and who may I ask is calling on this gorgeous sunny day?
He was furiously chewing bubble gum, the cheap pink variety, the only kind worth blowing. The sheriff blushed a deep red. Packed in his lower lip was a plug of chaw. He was a large man, as wide as he was tall. He was grade A by the books, with a military bearing that screamed Hanoi. Stinker guessed the man had seen buku action, but nothing like the action Stinker had seen stateside.
Well, that would be me. I'm the one calling. My name is John Ara Sledge. That is Sheriff John Ara Sledge.
And his partner, Pip.
Announced a tiny voice. Stinker looked puzzled. He scrunched his brow. Now where was that coming from?
From down here,
answered the voice, almost as if it could read Stinker's mind, which was impossible. No one could read Stinker's mind. even Stinker. Stinker stuck his prominent head out Miss Becky's window and looked down. He might as well have been gazing at a worthless insect.
Why ain't you the cutest? You ain't nothing more than itty-bitty banty rooster.
I'm a man, and I wish to be treated like one.
Squeaked the little man, adjusting his child-sized sheriff's hat.
Sure you do. You're what my mima would have called a knee-high shit-kicker with a regular-sized attitude.
Shit-kicker! Shit-kicker, shit-kicker, shit-kicker!
Now hold on just a minute, boy,
said the sheriff to Stinker. He spit out a thin stream of dip that splish-splashed betwixt his expensive leather boots. Bald Eagle, endangered.
That's my son you're talking about here. He ain't tall, but he sure can handle himself with a weapon. Ain't that right, boy?
You got that right, Daddy,
said the tiny man, puffing out his miniature chest. Stinker guessed he was no older than 21 or 22. Stinker was wonderful with ages, most typically of the young female variety. But this one was like nothing he'd ever witnessed. A man-child, a freak baby, a real ankle-biter by the looks of it.
I ain't got time to chat,
said Stinker, glancing at the digital clock on his CB transmitter.
Got a delivery to make. With the President of the United States?
Stinker pointed to the back, at the emptied cardboard diaper box that held the specially gift-wrapped six-pack of Schlitz.
Oh, that's so,
asked the sheriff, not impressed.
Well, before you head on up to Watergate City, I'm afraid I gotta hand over a tick-tick for speeding.
A bear bite.
Whatever you want to call it, boy. You well over a century.
Over 100?
Asked Stinker, who was usually bear-proof.
You confusing me with that tasty little Betty who breezed past just ahead? Jap Jeep? Bazooka's out to here?
Stinker spread his arms out wide, and then kept spreading them for comic effect.
Oh, Jap, Jap, Jap!
You calling me a liar, boy?
Asked the sheriff. He appeared none too pleased, even though he was suitably impressed with the size of this Betty's bazunkas.
Hang on a split second there, Johnny Law,
said Stinker, picking up the CB mic.
Boner, Boner, come on in now.
There was a squawk from the CB radio.
This here be the Boner,
announced Boner eventually.
Coming up your stern side real soon. Meet you at the next surfing turn.
Sounds good, old boy, but I could use me some help first. You ready for a love tap? Got a Care Bear telling me things I ain't appreciating.
A love tap? Now you know I'm always in the mood for a love tap.
Stinker thought,
low pay, no job security, danger at every turn.
Trailer trucking was a disease, but it was also the cure. Was there any job on this here earth better than making a living on the road? Don't have to wait for no whistle to blow. The modern day cowboy. Like a rabid dog who don't need no food or water. Just chasing that beautiful dream down America's red, white, and blue highway and never stopping, except for that inevitable road tang and blizzard lot gonorrhea. For sure, for sure.
Righto,
said Stinker, all smooth.
We got the hammer down and we're motoring.
He placed the CB mic back into its special cradle. Smiling wide, his mustache glistening with morning dew and perhaps a devil's dab of leftover woman dew from the previous night, he proclaimed,
Now, what were you saying, sir?
Oh, this will be good. I miss this.
What I was saying was, is that if I ever again catch you speeding, your ass will be grass.
The sheriff paused for effect and then continued,
And I'm the lawnmower.
Just then, a tremendous horn blasted from a big rig diesel. A K-whopper by the sounds of it. Stinker knew who was responsible. Who else? Boner. The sheriff and the little man tried to jump out of the way, but it was far too late. The bundled-out freight shaker and slicked-up moonraker was barreling down way too close, within just inches of Miss Becky.
Boner sure can ride. A true honky Hercules. Goddamn tricky truckologist.
Oh, stop it!
The sheriff and his son threw themselves over to the side of the road and landed in a huge puddle of mud. Or was it manure? It was funny because both the sheriff and the tiny freak had been wearing all white. Now they were covered from head to toe in brown.
Got in my pockets. Oh, come on.
Shit is the perfect color for you two.
Screamed Stinker, gently popping Miss Becky's throttle into drive and peeling away, sending up a rooster tail of gravel, just the way she liked it.
Bye-bye, boys!
Oh, you ain't experienced the last of us, too?
Screamed the tiny man, up to his knees in the nasty sick. He tried to wipe the ungodly vial from his eyes, but couldn't, which made it all the more hilarious.
We'll see about that!
Cackled Stinker. His voice echoed as the trans vroomed down the road. He knew damn well that he had just experienced the last of these two losers. Didn't have to worry about them no more. No way. No how. The tiny man began to cry. His father, the sheriff, also began to cry. Two tough, smoky jokies crying their dirty eyes out. The irony was yummy. Screamed Stinker.
Buck!
Screamed Buck. Steak and lobster awaited them all at the next truck-em-up. The choking puke was about 20 miles down the road. Miss Becky knew the way. Chapter 7. Ordering off menu. Jumbo was holding court at Ma's Dixie Easy Traveling Plaza, much like a jester would in France 1,000 years ago. Shirtless, with fat dribbling over his cut-off jean shorts, wearing a red, white, and blue headband, Jumbo danced and sashayed and can-canned atop the Formica diner counter to the delight of the horde of truckers and other assorted grizzly sizzlies there to eat steak and lobster and Ma's world-famous apple pie, each slice topped with a perfectly scooped mound of American-produced vanilla ice cream. Stinker would have slept with Ma, but she was old and, quite frankly, hideous. Ma reminded Stinker of something you might see on a bed of ice in Chinatown. The diner was packed. One trucker wore a t-shirt with a press-on decal of the Liberty Bell riding a dune buggy. Another wore a t-shirt with an image of a smiling Mexican with a gold tooth and a sombrero that read, Acapulco Gold. In each hand, in each sweaty, swollen hand, Jumbo clutched a small American flag. Jumbo was huge and gross, but you could never say that he didn't love America. This bloated freak was definitely in his element.
Land of the free and the home of the brave.
Jumbo sang to the tune of America the Beautiful. The truckers roared their approval. Boner and Stinker smiled. You could take this load of lard anywhere, and he'd always make friends. Even Buck was clapping his hands perfectly in time to the song, which was highly impressive, considering he was most likely brain damaged. The kid was dragging on a Pall Mall, all cool-like.
This 12-year-old sure could smoke.
The crowd, Jumbo's crowd, roared their approval. One gave a thumbs up, another the victory sign. It was difficult not to feel patriotic with the bicentennial just having come and gone. If you didn't, there was something mentally wrong with your brain. Jumbo was kicking his legs like a New York City Rockette during the Christian holiday season.
Oh, just check out these gams!
He screamed, pointing to his pasty white legs.
Ooh, ooh.
And then, even louder, in a husky voice, Jumbo sang,
For the dear old flag, oh, it brings me such peace and joy, because this dear old flag...
Don't you mean fag?
It wasn't even a question. A trucker with long, greasy hair and wearing a Civil War Confederate hat leaned against the jukebox. He seemed to be the only one who wasn't having much fun.
There's always one. Always one.
Yeah, that's just about the most faggoty thing I ever did see. And I seen a